Well, good afternoon, everybody. Get yourself comfortable. We've got a good program this afternoon. Former pastor Nardos Kabidi. I've gotten to know Nardos a little bit. He's vice president of Mike Williams Ministries, an invaluable addition. It gives me great pleasure now to invite Nardos to come and share what's on his heart.
I'm just so glad to be here with you guys. And I have been encouraged, and every time I don't come here, I always miss it, because I always say this is my beginning, and so, you know, this is like heart-to-heart conversation with each and every one of you guys, and the sessions are excellent. So I'm so glad, and I'm so glad to see you guys, and right after me, I think Don's going to come on. And he's going to be sharing wonderful stuff as well. I know you haven't seen Don for a while, but he's gonna have some wonderful things to say. I just been going through, as you know, a lot of changes, and this changes has been wonderful. Experiencing freedom from religion, but it was not only just one time deal that I can say, but it is just continuously I am experiencing freedom. What I want to share with you today, about the church and understanding what I kind of put a title to it, and I said, understanding the church from the point of view of religion versus knowing the church from the mindset of Christ. Mm-hmm. Understanding the church from the point of view of religion versus knowing the church from the mindset of Christ. And if we really talk about the two differences, it's night and day. And for almost four decades, I have been through and programmed to understand and see the church from the lenses of religion. I grew up in the church, you could say, you know, and my dad was a pastor, PK's kid growing up, wanting to preach and there and this. But I was programmed to understand the church always from the point of view of Christianity or from the point of view of religion. Every time the word church being mentioned, just like I put on my glasses, subconsciously, the religious glasses kicks on to help me understand the church. I think if I ask you the same question, you would say, that's probably right. But sadly to say, my understanding always comes short, because I now know that religion cannot unveil the body of Christ fully, nor it has any potential to do so. Every time I put subconsciously the religious glass to understand the church, that somehow the picture becomes blurred. In fact, the word religion means to go back to bondage. Therefore, instead of helping me or anyone see the beauty of Christ's body, it puts greater bondage and blocks the mind to stop to discover the freedom that we have in Christ. So religious cripples us to understand really and perceives what the beauty of the church is. The roads to freedom and how I got, you know, this message, I want to share it with you. My freedom started in this very room. I came just like anyone to Grace Conference with my wife. After through the teachings of Mike and many soul searching, I have found my freedom from religion. I was able to walk away from Christianity and everything that I was involved in at that time. It was a great relief. I needed fresh new starts. So in March 2018, I have moved to new city, Vancouver, but I soon found out that the freedom I have found at Grace Conference was just the beginning, not the end. It's just starting. I thought to myself, I have found freedom. But then it was just the beginning. I moved to a new city, but only to discover that there is deeper freedom that I must experience deep inside. In my humble opinion, freedom is not one-time deal, but it is continuous process. The concept of the salvation of the soul, it is everyday reality. It is everyday reality. When I came here, Jeannie picked me up from the airport. We had interesting talk when we were just coming. She was sharing what was in her heart. And I was just so blown by what she's sharing. It was just the gospel. But my mind, my soul was being renewed and being saved. So to come to this, to come to my point, freedom is not one-time deal, but it is continuous process. The concept of the salvation of the soul, it is everyday reality. Before we even come to this meeting, this morning, we have new revelation, and our soul is renewed and being saved, and we are continuously being saved. One summer morning, I was heading to work, and I was in the midst of rush hour traffic. Now, I lived in Calgary for so many years, for 17 years. I used to complain about rush hour. You wait until you get to Vancouver. It is interesting. You're talking about an hour and a half, anywhere to 2 hours. I was convinced I would not get to my workplace very soon. Probably it would take me, like I said, you know, close to an hour, more than an hour. So I got time to kill. Stuck in traffic, I began thinking about the church, but without even being aware, subconsciously, my mind was like wired to use the same old method, the religious class, to understand the church. Mind you, this mind has been programmed for four decades. The more I thought about the church using the old method, the more distorted picture I got. But because I came out from religion, I started asking questions. If it wasn't my Christian days, I would just pretend and act like everything was normal. But now, because I was free from cage mentality, I ask important questions about why I was getting distorted pictures every time I think about the church. As a pastor, if you don't understand something, you just gotta dodge it and pretend that everything is okay. Especially when it comes to people asking you questions, you have to be professional and just you gotta say, well, it's excellent questions. Since we don't have any time, can we? You gotta dodge it. And a lot of time I used to do that to my own, to myself as well. But now I stopped and I said, why is it that I am getting distorted picture about the church? The answer I got that day impacted my thinking and revolutionized my approach to understanding the church in a more profound way. That day I discovered that it is not only important to come out of religious bondage, but more also it is important to take religious influence from our mind and emotions. Let me repeat that again. It is not only important to come out of religious bondage, but more also it is important to take religious influence from our mind, will, and emotion. You might be out of the cage, but if the cage still remains in your mind, then your freedom is not yet fully complete. It is tetelestai. It has been finished upon the cross. But it has to be settled and accepted in our will, emotions, and in our actions. So unlearning the things we have been taught by religion and programming the mind must always be a continuous process. Getting rid of the old thinking. Sometimes, like I said, you can be out of the cage, but if the cage is still in your thinking, then there's got to be something being done. If this process stops for any reason, your mind relapses into the old way of thought, habits. I think that was the core problem, what I was getting distorted information about the church at that time. I was using the mind of religion. The church's true beauty has been covered, tainted, distorted, perverted by religion mindsets for many years. So the question we must ask, and that's what I was asking, what does the church look like from the mindset of Christ? It's not about the mindset of Christianity or religion, but what does the church look like? Because like I said before, the church truly, true beauty has been covered, tainted, distorted, perverted by religion. And every time I use that religion glass, then some covering. Mike was sharing about that, and I was just so touched by that. It's so true. Nobody's blind. We have been set free upon the cross. By his stripe, we are healed. There is no blindness. But then every time we hear and go into religion, then this cover comes into our mind. So again, the question we must ask, what does the church look like from the point of view of Christ? Then I had, as I begin to think, I've been married almost 16 years this year, and a lot of people can talk about my wife. They can, you know, her co-workers, her friends. Every people whom she know, they can describe her and write a book about her. But I tell you one thing. If I talk about my wife, then the whole opinion of others changes. Because I know my wife better than the people outside. And it's kind of like that. We have been given the mindset of religion, and we begin, and every time we hear about the church, then that picture is distorted. But the church looks like from, what does the church look like from the point of view of Christ? What is the church, number one? Christ said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Religious taught us that, well, you have to believe, accept Jesus Christ, And then you are the church, the selected group. But the mind of understanding the from the point of view, Christ said, If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So what is the church? The church is the entire race of humanity. That is the true church. It's not only the selected group of people who believed and accepted. Whether you are accepted or not, you have been, you are the body of Christ. Number two, the church is perfect, without spot or without blame. According to in Ephesians, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Not only the church is the entire race of humanity, but the church is without blame. The church is absolutely perfect. We are absolutely perfect. As the head is perfect, the body is absolutely perfect. But anytime we use religious mindset, then the head is perfect, but the body is not perfect and needs continual process. But what the head is saying, as I am perfect, the body is perfect, absolutely. Number two, it is not the place to be visited. We are the church. We cannot go to the church and visit, even though I used to promote that when I am pastor before. If I say that is not the place to be visited, as Wade will tell you, that place will be empty. Or people will begin to ask, why are you saying that? But no, we cannot visit a church. We are it. We are the body of Christ. We are the living being. There's life. Yesterday I was just sitting back and I begin to kind of see and envision. We are like a living river that's moving. And in that river, there's life. There's different experience. There's different experience. Whereas in Christianity, there's man-made dam or water. And we think of it and they said, it has life. And emotionally, we are so prompted. And when it comes to, you know, Pentecostalism, where, you know, we say, we make it happen with emotion. But the reality is, it's absolutely empty. There's no life. And that's what I was just kind of imagining yesterday. I was just saying, this is a river. It's a flowing. There's life. There's fellowship. If we don't know, we don't know. If we know, then hey, we don't even fake it. I'm telling you, in my 4 decades, this is the interesting group that I came across. Just so real and honest. Number four, the head and the body are one and has never been separated. It's like religious telling us, well, the head is in heaven and we are here. There is a separation. And in order to communicate, you have to kind of pray and seek God's will and do this and do that. In our Christian days, we used to hold all-night prayer once a month, seeking the face of God, just communicating, trying to bring Him from heaven into our midst. Come down. Work among us. We used to go around the buildings, claiming, naming and claiming and casting, all kind of crazy stuff. The head and the body are one and has never been separated. Paul tells us that Christ in us, the hope of glory. While we're praying that to be connected with Him, what He's saying to us is, I am in you. You don't even have to do anything. I am in you. Just like a sugar mixed with water has been blended and we can't even tell it which one is which. He is in us. And we are in Him. We have never been separated from the point of view of the head. The church has never lacked anything. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, it says, in 1 Corinthians, it said that in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. You lack nothing. How many times that I prayed, oh God, there's luck, he says, you got the religious mindset and understanding the church is like that. It's like there's always, the church is not perfect. The church is, this, and the church is lacking something, while He's saying that you lack nothing because I am in you. I am in you. Number six, that's my favorite one. The church has never been a religious dumpster. The church has never been religious dumpster. Although, since we had that mentality, somehow it's a place. It's kind of like a buffet of religion. And that's how we get it. No. In Christ, there is no religion exists. Cannot even exist. We're looking at that word where Paul mentions, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when we shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Why? Because religious does not exist in the body of Christ. Therefore, the church is not a religious dumpster where you have this denominations and that denominations and this and that. No, the church has always been free from religion according to the mindset of Christ. The church has always been glorious according to the mindset of Christ. Has always been glorious. As He is full of glory, the body is full of glory. We are it. We are full of God's glory. The church has, number eight, the church has always been free from condemnation and guilt. I met one interesting gentleman. Came to know him, very good guy. He still studies to become a pharmacist. Chinese guy, and we were just talking, and he said, out of, you know, we were just talking, and I said, tell me about God. Or he says, God is in me. I said, what? I mean, he's not a Christian. He had no influence with religion. But he has the knowledge of God being in him. So I said, this is interesting. So I said, well, I gotta talk to him about condemnation. I said, what about condemnation? He said, what condemnation? I don't feel no condemnation, he says. I have never felt condemned. But he says that if I make a mistake, then I'll try to make it right and move on. I said, this is funny. Because all my life, growing up, I felt condemned. And then after I became pastor, I used to, you know, condemn others. Condemnation, there is a chain of condemnation you have to. And then I was telling Mike and Les, my go-to verse I used to, you know, right after my preaching was, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart, so God has spoken. So open up your heart if there is no any issues in your life. And then I will just kind of start, you know, using that condemnation. People will come out, repent, and all that stuff. Don't be like Orpha. Orpha means like hard-headed. God has a plan for you, so open up your heart. And the church has always been free from condemnation and guilt, because according to the head, the church is full of him. Not only that, the church is full of the righteousness of God. The church is full of the righteousness of God. And that's how we should see ourselves. And that's what my continuous transformation and freedom was. And I said to myself, well, even though I am out of Christianity now, I must let this Christian thinking and ways and religion thinking be transformed to the with the mind of Christ. Because Paul says we have the mind of Christ, not religion. We have the mind. It's in us. It's in us. Number 9, the church has never chosen Christ. The church was chosen before the foundation of the earth. It's been chosen. In fact, it was chosen by the Father for his Son. It was not democracy, it was theocracy. Theos, God. God rules. God chose. He brought it to his Son. The Son, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will give my life to you. He sealed it. And he says, I'm absolutely satisfied. I'm absolutely satisfied. Somehow, religious mindset tells us that we chose him. We lift up our hand and, you know, I accepted and I belong. No, no, no. It is God who chose us before the foundation of the world. We were chosen. It was settled. I could go on with this list. And, you know, I encourage you, even if you have time, to just continue with this list. Number 10. The church has always been at rest. without any effort, according to the mindset of Christ, the church has always been at rest, without any performance. We got nothing to prove. We got nothing to prove. And the church is resting. Praise God. We are just resting. And anytime that we do something, we are doing it from the place of rest. Just like Martha and Mary. Mary was just resting. How much more the church rest after the resurrection? We're not in the performance. The church is not in the performance mode. It is the mindset of religion that gave us that kind of mentality that we have to perform in order to be pleasing to God, but He is pleased with us. Before we even know Him, He was pleased with us. Before the foundation of the world, He chose us. He called us. He sanctified us. He made us one with Him. And as I begin to understand the church from the point of view of Christ, that my old world or seeing the church absolutely changed. And I said, and I come back to what I said earlier, the church's true beauty has been covered, tainted, distorted, perverted by religion mindset. But when we have the mind of Christ and when we begin to see what the church truly is from the point of view Christ, it is absolutely gorgeous picture. And then as I was just in that traffic, I didn't even know how long I was in that traffic because I just lost track, honestly speaking. I just lost track. I was just so touched by the glorious reality of who the church is. I messed up walking up when I got to my workplace. It was just so sweet time. But my mind was transforming and really changing. And I am continually being changed. Getting rid of the old mentality, ideas, unlearning and learning, unlearning and learning. So I want to encourage you that not only you can understand, you can use this, just not only you can understand the church, but you can use the mind of Christ to understand every part of your life, every things that you're going through. You can begin to see it from the point of view Christ, and then everything changes. I don't say, woe is me anymore. But I just go through in life and embrace it. And I am more ready to receive anything that comes at me because of the mindset of Christ. So I want to encourage you, and this is my experience. I still, and it's a wonderful experience, I tell you. I'm at rest, you know. And growing up, always, I'm a performer. I like to perform. I like to do, you know, I like to do the will of God and this and that. But then He says, what do you got to prove? Nothing. I haven't preached for a long time now. It's like I was just so nervous even try to, because I just, it's not in me anymore. It's just, if I have to preach, then okay. But that ego's gone. that struggle to perform and to be accepted is gone. I got nothing to prove to anybody. I am at peace. It is well. It is well with me. It has been 2 years, I think, since I walked away from the ministry and then came back, came and started sharing the Facebook and started sharing, you know, the new message, and a lot of people, and I lost a lot of friends as well, and a lot of pastors that I used to know. And they used to call me, you know, they started calling me just recently, you know. One of them that I remembered, he says, I can't believe that you are in this. This is heresy, you know. God's going to strike you down. And I said, he has striken the whole earth, the whole humanity upon the cross. Nothing left. You're included as well. But he says, you're wrong, you know, this teaching is wrong. I said, I'm okay. I'm really okay. If you think that I'm wrong, I'm at peace. Before I used to get nervous, I'm telling you. Even when I hear the word heresy, you know. I think, I said, okay, heresy, okay. So I said, I'm at peace. He said, I'm going to pray for you. I said, don't pray for me, please. I don't want you to pray for me. Pray for yourself. Pray for the denominations that somehow you guys going to come to as one. But don't pray for me. I'm at peace. But to come into this point, I have never, never imagined it. But I am so glad to experience this freedom. The day that I came out from Christianity and all religion, I will never regret it. Never regret it. And like I said before, when you have the mind of Christ and when you are just starting to be, to know that understanding, not to believe, but to know that you know that you know that you know, you got nothing to prove to anyone. So I don't want to keep you, but I'm so glad to be able to share. And hopefully next year, I'll share. And you all have been encouraging to me, to my life. And every time I look at this room and this group, you know, you guys are so encouraging. And for the founders of Grace Conference, thank you for sticking it out. That means so much. Might be a small group, but when I heard about you guys and came, I said, I've been living here almost 17 years. I have never heard of this group. But thank you for sticking it out. You know, slow by slow, you're reaching, touching, changing. So we can't wait to hear Dawn. We're just going to take 5 minutes break, and then we're just going to go into Dawn. I know he's got a wonderful thing to share with us. So me and Jenny, set him up, and then he's going to come on, and he's going to share what is in his heart. Bless you guys.